All right, my friends, welcome to Regeneration for Students, where you are walking the steps towards healing. I'm really encouraged to see everybody here. I know this week in the curriculum, when we get to assess the situation and you start working on these inventory worksheets, it can be a challenge. And so here's what we're going to do is we've given you a couple extra weeks on this letter, on these steps. So you should be making progress, and you should really pick up momentum this week. But what we're going to do this week is I'm going to give you a little more teaching than I normally do. And then next week, it'll be almost no teaching, and you're going to spend almost the whole time with your groups talking about what you've accomplished in inventory. So today will be more of an introduction. You'll have a little bit less time in your step groups, and then we'll spend a lot of time with our groups next week, and everybody's going to do a lot of work on their inventory this week, so you have things to share and talk about with your groups. So tonight, relatively normal with just a little bit more time in here than in your groups. Wanted to give you that preview. A couple reminders, then we're going to go to testimony. You're going to get to hear from one of our step group leaders tonight, and I think you're going to be encouraged. But first is this, back in the back, just want to remind everybody, especially as issues start to pop up, as you think through things on your inventory, they're pointing at it. There's issue sheets. They're always available. Look it over so at least you're familiar with the 20 or so that are there. And then if you know you're interested in one of them, go ahead and grab them. Grab as many as you like. But then you can always come back. Wanted to make sure you knew that. And then I realized some of you weren't here the week that we put the table of contents up on the screen. And so if you turn to page one and you haven't filled this out already, these are the dates that each section needs to be finished by. So if you haven't jotted those down in your book, there were probably 10 or 12 of you that were gone the week we put this on the screen. I wanted to put up there again. So you can see we have a little bit extra time for assess the situation. You don't need to finish this section until February 24th. And then you'll just have a week in between each one after that. So make sure you jot down these dates. I'm going to leave it on the screen for just a few more seconds. I'm going to pray. You're allowed to keep your eyes open and write down these numbers while I'm praying. I promise you God will still hear me. And then I'll introduce our testimony for tonight. All right? So jot those down and I'll pray. Lord, I thank you so much for tonight. I thank you just for the reminder that I had today from your word. That you are the one who understands the things that I don't and we don't understand. And you are the one that has the power to provide me and everyone in this room with the things we need most, with comfort in the midst of the brokenness of living in this world and being broken ourselves, with healing for the pain and destruction that has resulted from that brokenness, for freedom from habits, from thought patterns that are destructive and dark and bring us down. You can give us freedom. And ultimately, you're the one that gives us hope, that gives us eternal life, and that can bring peace into the chaos of living in this world. And so I just thank you for the reminders that that is who you are, and that you know us and you see us and you love us and you don't abandon us, and you remind us that we're your children and you know everything about us and you care about us. And I pray that that message would resonate deeply in all of our hearts tonight as we talk about the things we're going to talk about. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm sitting there on the front row, and I'm kind of mad that I prepared anything to share with you tonight, because that was enough. I hope you were listening, and I hope you were encouraged, because Kirk's story can be yours, a story of hope and healing and recovery, when you come to a place where you realize all you have to do is stop trying and surrender to a God who is there, who's been there all along, who made you, and who loves you very much and cares for you. So I want to talk to you a little bit more about that God. And I want to start kind of in a little bit of a different way, just based on something that Kirk shared. There was a moment in the middle of his story where he kind of paused. And he said something that I wonder if it's true for many of you in this room. He said, "I wanted so desperately to be," do you remember what he said? "Happy." And how many of you in this room, you know, maybe throughout the day or maybe just in the evening when things have quieted down and you're settling in to go to bed, do you wonder if you're ever going to be happy? Or you're plotting what you can do to make yourself happy? And I want to tell you, I believe the God that we're talking about here week in, week out at Regeneration for Students, he's a happy God. And I think he longs for us, his children, to be happy. And I say that because in the first recorded sermon in the Bible that Jesus Christ gave, and it's the longest recorded sermon that we have, it starts in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus uses this word blessed, which is translated into blessed or blessed, but really in the original language, it means blissfully happy. And the first thing Jesus says in the first written sermon in the Bible that ends up being the longest one, the first words out of his mouth are, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God." The poor in spirit, people who realize H is true, help. We are broken and powerless to heal on our own. We admit that we desperately need help. I'm poor in spirit. I need God's riches in my life. And then the second thing Jesus says, so he says, you want to be blissfully happy? Realize that you don't have it all together and you're poor in spirit. And the second thing he says is, blessed, blissfully happy are those, and this is so ironic, who mourn, who like cry and weep and are broken over the brokenness in this world. And he says, they will be comforted. When you let yourself mourn and come close to God and receive his comfort, that's when you find healing. That's when you find comfort. And that's where you find the happiness that you long for. And so I start there just kind of keying in on that thing that he shared because that's the step that we're on is, you know, you saw the letter H, so we'll put it on the screen, is help. And then last week we talked about the letter E, entirely trusting God, believing that a powerful and loving God exists. We turn our lives completely over to him. And then this week we're talking about the letter A, assess the situation. And we can skip the proceed with caution thing. But we are going to courageously and thoroughly examine our lives and invite others to walk with us. And when you do this inventory step through this curriculum, if you do it right, it's going to make you want to mourn, if not actually mourn, because you just see all of the brokenness that you've experienced in your life in one place. And so why would we do that? Because Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, and they will be comforted. Blessed are the poor in spirit who recognize how poor they are and finally turn to surrender and trust God. And so I want to guide you in this process and talk to you about assessing the situation, how to actually courageously and thoroughly examine your lives. And to do that, I want to share with you an interesting story that I found on one of my most used apps on my phone. You know, you have the screen time. It tells you how much time you're using, and I doubt it is your most used app, and that's just going to show my age gap from you guys, which I'm okay with. I'm secure with that. We're all going to grow older someday. But I use the news app. I am just curious. Yeah, just that standard Apple news app, nothing fancy. And I just will scroll for interesting things to read and then sit there and read them. I'm a nerd. But I came across this article and it was fascinating and it is immensely helpful for this step. So here it is on the screen. The title of the article is, "There are still thousands of tons of unexploded bombs in Germany left over from World War II." Now, I don't know where you've gotten in your history classes, but World War II was in the 1940s. So we're like 80 years ago. And this article is about the reality that is, look at these planes in this picture and then the next picture that comes up. These planes would just drop from the US, from England, from all the Allied forces. They would just drop tons and tons and tons of bombs. Like they'd fill them up with bombs and go over Germany and just drop, 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 drop. And I never knew this, but the reality was is that only a percentage of those bombs actually went off when they impacted the ground. The rest of them lodged underground, unexploded. So here's a picture of modern day digging out. This is how big those bombs were coming out of those airplanes. And the article says that there were millions of tons of bombs that were dropped, and about 10% of them failed to explode, which meant today in Germany, about 2,000 tons. So a ton is 2,000 pounds, and about 2,000 tons is uncovered in Germany still today every single year. So that's how many bombs were left underground unexploded. So anytime a new house is built, a hotel is put up, a building's torn down and another one's rebuilt, anytime they have to fix, you know, the plumbing underground, anytime there's any construction that's done, the ground has to be certified as cleared of buried unexploded bombs. So they are a daily threat. If you live in Germany, which was interesting, I've told this story before, and there was an exchange student in the audience from Germany, and she came up to me and she said, "I'm from Germany," with her German accent. I'm not going to try it. And I was like worried she was going to say, "You read a stupid article, we're not scared of bombs." And she was like, "It is exactly like that." And we hear stories every week of some, you know, area of the country where a bomb has gone off. And we live with constant concern of the destruction that is just beneath our feet. And so people are frequently evacuated whenever they're doing excavations, properties damaged, and each year people are even killed when these bombs go off. So why do I start with this article that I found on my news app? Here's why. And maybe if you're smart, you're catching on. But every single one of us has symbolic or metaphorical buried bombs in our life. Every one of us has circumstances or situations or occurrences from our past that we've tried to bury and just put away and live our lives day to day on the surface, but they're there underneath. They're in our memory. They're in our heart. And they sometimes affect our thoughts and our behavior and our emotions. But buried bombs are everywhere in everyone's life. And so I want to talk to you about this process. You know, in Germany, they have to excavate, dig out, find the bombs, get them out, disarm them, and make sure the area is safe. We've got to do that in our own lives. So I'm going to talk to you about three things. I'm going to put them all up on the screen. Then I'll go through them one at a time. So you don't have to write them all down right now. But I believe that healthy people disarm buried bombs by doing three things. One, by digging deep and digging everywhere. That's what this step is all about, is digging deep into your past and into your life and digging everywhere, leaving no stone unturned. Number two, you don't do it alone. You bring in a bomb squad. And we're going to talk about that. And then number three, healthy people don't wait. You don't put it off till tomorrow and go, "I'll deal with that after college. I'll deal with that whenever I get married or whenever I have kids or whenever the kids have moved out, then I'll deal with it and I'm just going to leave it buried." Healthy people don't try to live on top of buried bombs. So let's talk about digging deep and digging everywhere. I want to show you a few more images from this article that I found. So this is one that was accompanied with the article. It's called Hidden Menace. And the main point of this article, it's showing you what happened as the bomb went down. The main point I want you to get is at the bottom. You can't read it, but it describes how the average depth of these bombs was 14 feet underground. So 14 feet underground. So anytime there's a building project, if let's say it was this building, the entire area around the building, anywhere that would be broken, has to be dug down 14 feet deep, and they do it section by section, but they have to dig everywhere because a bomb could be anywhere and they have to dig deep. Here's a picture of them excavating. They've got a little tent down there and they just dig down, down, down till they get to 14 feet all around and they move on to the next section. And the same is true with our lives. Bombs could be anywhere in our past and in our stories. They could be something that someone else did to someone else we know, and maybe not directly to us, but it affected you indirectly. It could be something someone did to you or said to you. It could be something you did yourself. There's tons of buried bombs that could affect you, and they're everywhere, and they're buried deep often in our hearts and in our lives and in our memories. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, David says this. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." He invites God to dig into his own life. He says, "Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life." This is like the theme verse for Assess the Situation. for taking an inventory is you're praying this prayer along with David to God, asking him to search you and know your heart, to bring things to the surface as you go through and fill out these charts that he wants you to see and he wants to help you disarm. Inventory is a long, hard process if you do it right. It's challenging. It's difficult. When I did it, I was sad almost every day. And I brought this up here with me. I'll have it in my step group. But anybody who wants to see it, and I'm sure leaders have theirs, if you want to see a sample, my inventory ended up being 15 pages long. And I typed it up and kind of filled out every deal. And you can see, I'll put up samples here. You know, this was my resentments. And you can just kind of scroll through them as I talk here for a second. But man, it's a lot. And it's overwhelming as you go through these things. And if this was the only thing you did was dig deep and dig everywhere, I think you'd all be like depressed and or angry people. Because that's where the process of inventory led me as I'm filling out these charts. And I'm thinking about all the people who hurt me, all the people who I hurt, all the things that I'm afraid of, all the things that make me feel bitter or resentment towards others. As I think about all the sexual dysfunction that happened in my life and the darkness and the secret of that, and I'm writing it down on paper, makes me sad. And it makes me angry at myself and the world that we live in. And so we don't want to just stop with saying, all right, search me, show me everything that's offensive, and I'm just gonna dig deep and I'm gonna find these bombs. That would be crazy if they did that in Germany. If all they did was dig out huge holes and find all the bombs and then point at them and be like, yep, there are the bombs, and then try to build on top of them. That would be stupid to know where the bombs are now and then go ahead and build a brand new building on top of unexploded bombs. So you've gotta do the second thing. If you want to be a healthy person, you've got to bring in a bomb squad. Healthy people bring in a bomb squad and they aim to disarm the bomb. So here's a photo from Germany that came with the article of three guys on the bomb squad that are carefully getting the bomb out. Then they take it to a secure location and they have experts disarm the bombs. Now, I'm saying the word bomb squad, and you know, a couple years ago, more popular than it is today, but still on occasion on Instagram, I will see people use the word squad, sometimes with a hashtag before it. Oftentimes, it's girls at the lake or at a Toyota Music Factory with my squad, and they have a picture, or maybe before a Sadie Hawkins dance, they're with their squad, or with their volleyball team, they're with a squad. But everybody kind of, it was real popular to have a squad a couple years ago, and still some today are hanging on to the term squad. But the term squad, surprise, did not originate with Instagram. It's actually a military term, and I want to show you the definition. If you look up what squad is, a definition you'll find is this: a small number of soldiers, commonly 10 privates, a staff sergeant, and a corporal. It's the smallest military unit. The smallest military unit is a squad. And so we all need, what I'm telling you tonight is we all need a bomb squad in our life. And let me translate that for you in light of this definition. We need people that will love us enough to go to war with us against the sin and brokenness and pain of our lives and help us in the process of healing. As we uncover buried bombs, we need other people that see and know about those bombs and can help lead us to the love, comfort, and healing that is found in God. But we need people, people of God, to help us do that. And so that's why the first part of assessing the situation is taking an inventory, and the second part is confessing that inventory to someone else. So you can have a group of people who will know what it is you're fighting against, and they can fight with you and for you for your health. So this comes from James 5:16. James was the half-brother of Jesus, and he wrote a letter just explaining how his half-brother was actually the Savior from God. And then he's instructing people who have come to trust and follow that Savior and what their lives should look like. And one of the things James says is, confess your sins to each other. Of course, we're to confess our sins to God, but he says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. Be a bomb squad for each other so that you may be healed, because the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. And so you're to confess in your step groups and with other Christians that you have in your life, the things that you find on your inventory, and then ask them to pray for you. And not just, oh, I'll pray for you later, but I want to encourage you over the next 3 weeks to stop in your step group. Say, I want to pray for you as you deal with that thing on your inventory, and just say a short prayer and then move on. Proverbs 28:13 says, people who conceal their sins will not prosper, but if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. If they dig them up, give them to a bomb squad and disarm them, you'll receive God's mercy, but you will not prosper if you leave them buried. 1 John 1:7, it's dark underground where things are buried. 1 John 1:7 says, if we're living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. When all of your bombs are exposed to daylight and they're out in the open for other people to see, that is when you are finally, truly free. And you finally are known and loved by other people in the way you long to be known and loved. So finally, in conclusion, healthy people disarm buried bombs by digging deep and digging everywhere and by bringing in a bomb squad. And then I want to encourage you this. Do this today. I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but my step group, I'm throwing them under the bus right now. I don't want to, but I have to. They're not doing a great job this week at their book work. I asked everybody on Sunday afternoon, send a picture of something you wrote in your book this week, and it was crickets on that text. And I just want to encourage all of you, if you're falling behind, don't wait. Don't wait. Don't leave. You have an opportunity to dig up buried bombs and this tool that will guide you in it, and this group of people that are here for the next 6 weeks to be your bomb squad with you. Don't miss that opportunity. Do it today. And here's why. Don't switch to the picture yet, because I want to tell you how this article ends. The article starts with talking about how many million tons didn't explode and how many explode and how they excavate. The article ended with a story. And it was a story about a man named Paul Dietrich. And Paul Dietrich had been renovating his house in Germany by himself for 10 years. So he didn't hire a company to come in and redo his house, but he redid the floors. He redid the baseboards. He redid the drywall, moved some walls, redid the plumbing and the countertops and the tile. Little by little, Paul Dietrich renovated his own house until it was completely finished. And he was enjoying living in his newly renovated house with his dog. And one day he took his dog out for a walk, and he's walking his dog. And in the distance during his walk, he hears what sounds like an explosion. The ground shakes, there's a loud thud, and he's like, whoa, what was that? Did a plane crash? Is there an earthquake? Like, it was an odd sound to him. And so as he's finishing his walk and he's walking back towards his house, he sees smoke rising up over the trees. And the closer and closer he gets to his house, the closer it seems like the smoke is to his house, and the more concerned he becomes. And as he kind of breaks through the trees and rounds the corner to where his newly renovated home was, here's what Paul Dietrich found. A buried bomb had gone off underneath his house. And before he had begun his project and bought this house and thought about renovating it, he didn't do the hard work because it's expensive and it takes a long time to dig deep and dig everywhere. But then he paid for it. And so here's the cautionary tale of Paul Dietrich and his house that was destroyed by a buried bomb. Before you continue building your life, because you're in your teenage years, and you're building a foundation on which your adulthood and your future family will be built. Before you keep building your reputation and your education and your career goals and the way you're going to contribute to society, before you do any of that, I want to encourage you to stop. Dig deep, dig everywhere, and bring in a bomb squad. Because you don't want to keep building a life on top of these buried bombs, because sooner or later, and you never know when, they're going to go off. Why do you think the divorce rate in this country is well over 50%? It's because all those people, they don't have problems with their marriages. They have problems from back when they were single. because they had buried bombs that they just thought, I'm going to put that in the past and I'm going to move on. And they didn't deal with the way people talked to them when they were a little kid, the way people treated them when they were a little kid, the hurt that they experienced from broken friendships or rejection, the secrets of the mistakes they had made that they had sworn they would never tell anyone. They didn't deal with those things, and eventually those bombs go off in a relationship and they destroy a family. And guys, in this room, let's not have any destroyed families because of bombs that go off in our life 20 years from now. Let's dig them up now. Let's deal with them now. Psalm 95, verses 6 and 7 says, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker, for he's our God. We're the people he watches over, the flock under his care. And then the psalmist says, if only you would listen to his voice today. Every single time I talk to someone and tell them we're doing regeneration for students, every single time any adult that has done regeneration says, oh my gosh, that is so great. I wish I would have known what I know now when I was in high school. I wish I could have dealt with the buried bombs before they went off and destroyed my life in my 20s or in my 30s. And they're like, so excited for you. And you have this opportunity. Will you take advantage of it? Will you assess the situation and courageously and thoroughly examine your lives and invite others to walk with you? You have the opportunity to start to do that tonight. I've left you a solid 40 minutes to begin this conversation. You're going to get a solid hour plus next week. You've got all week to work on these inventory worksheets. And today I want you to ask all the questions that you have about how to do it and how to get started. There are resources. The leaders and I talked about how in the adult books, there's maybe some questions before each category to jumpstart you. Ask a leader for those questions. They can take a picture of their adult region book and send it to you if you're having trouble getting started on a category. But man, dig deep, dig everywhere. That's why there's six different categories to get you everywhere. And then dig deep, do as much as you can. All right, let me pray for you and we'll get you out of there to your step groups. Lord, I pray that you would help us. You give us the courage and the wisdom to trusting you, walk back into our lives and just say, all right, show me. Show me where the bombs are. Help me bring them, give me the courage to bring them up to the surface with other people into the light. Show me what it looks like trusting you and truth and the love of people in my life to disarm them and put them away so that I can live the rest of my life without fear of them going off. So Lord, would you give us the wisdom to understand that and help all of us to be blessed, to be poor in spirit, to have the courage and the trust and faith in you to mourn and to grieve the pain that brokenness has brought into our lives, and help us to trust you enough to receive your comfort, the comfort of your nearness, the comfort of your compassion, the comfort of your promised justice and power, the comfort of your good plan for our lives, and the promise of hope, of eternity, all of those things, Lord. Would you give us all of them in Christ? In Jesus' name, amen.